This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father God, we celebrate you this morning. For you are, you don't place us under a big dark tank or lid or whatever, and then things that we think that we can. We must go out to the world. Father, you lift us up and you enlighten us from within. Lord God, in this morning we come to surrender ourselves again to you, Lord. To just afresh and anew, Lord God, let that light be lit in us because you are so good. And Father, this morning we can declare that we are whole. We are blessed, we are called, we are healed. And we receive that, Lord Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So let's get to today's sermon because there's a lot to talk about. And I actually prepared really a very short sermon because I feel that I want to place the emphasis on what on the real reason we are also here today. And some of you might have noticed that there's a hose pipe coming out and there's water. And we know what happens when we see water. Né? If God calls us, we need to get in. So we're excited, it's baptism day. But I want to ask you a question. Who of you have ever sold a car, a house, or any form of either immovable property or movable property where you had to sign a contract? Let's just, by a raise of hands, okay, so we got, cool, all right. Eh? Not yet. It's happening, Auntie Doris. Don't worry. You'll get there. Then you. But it's good that you listen today because we're going to be legal today. We're going to come to terms of what it means. So just take the sermon as is this morning. All right. As is. See, Josh, you. So let's, for the sake of the sermon today, use an immovable property, which is a house. So let's say you want to buy this house. You go there, you look at it, you see that it's for sale. You make an appointment, you go there. Then you go in, you walk around, you say, whoa, this is cool. I love this place. I'm going to go back. So you contact the owner, you say, the seller, you say, hey, I want to buy this house. What's your selling price? He says, yes. You say, yes, good. And then you draw up a contract. You sign the contract. And what does the contract say? You buy the property from the seller. All right, then it goes to the attorneys. And they do overdrafts and all funny things. You apply for a loan. You get it done. If you buy cash, very happy for you. You sign it, all good. You have a house. Okay, so that's just a fast-track version. If Paul were here, he'd actually stop me and say, let's just retract. There's a couple of more things happening. So, but for sake of time, we're gonna go through it quickly. So, by now you are in that place of you getting the keys. So, as you walk into the house, you see, but whoa, I didn't see this the first time I was here. There's a lot of things wrong in this place, electrical, structural. There's even a funny smell. You're like, So you go back to the seller and you say to him, okay, listen, what about these things? You're going to have to fix them. He's like, no. Just go back. Sorry, Ronald. So just go back to the contract and look at the following clause. So if we have the next slide, I actually... just going to put the lights off here. So it says the parties agree that the sale of the immovable property is footstuarts and that no claim shall arise out of any latent defects present on the said item. Whew. So in legal terms, you're pretty much screwed if you've signed that contract. So frustrated, you go to the agent, and you're like, hey, dude, you didn't tell me all of these things. There was real, julle dit onder toegesmeer onder die modder. You placed it underneath the mud, you like covered it up. You go to the lawyers, you say, hey guys, we need to do something about this. They're like, our hands are bound. Because you signed that contract. You didn't properly read through it. And then what we now do nowadays is we go to newspapers, online newspapers. We don't do the physical newspapers so much anymore. So you go online, you go social media, and then you just make a big scene of it. Am I right? Do people still do that? If they are sort of in a difficult place and they're pressed in a corner, then the quick route to go out to is say, okay, we're going to social media. He's going to slander the name of this person all over the Facebook. So what now? So what does it mean when we say footstool? So this term means that the property is sold footstools or as is. All right? The clause is a commonly known and is found mostly in agreements of sale with immovable property. So the footstool clause is written into the agreement of sale for the protection of the seller. Julle moet dit nou nie neerskryf nie, because you can't use it anymore. You'll understand today when we finish. So the protection this clause gives the seller is that the seller is not responsible for any defects which are in the property, whether these be latent or patent. So to see before and after. The purchaser buys the property in the condition in which it is found as the date of sale, regardless of the condition of the property. We have a problem. And see, this is the base of the sermon today. Jesus writes in John 6, from verse 36 to 40, he speaks that I am the bread of life. But he goes in verse 37, he says that all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So I want you to look at that one in verse 37, which says, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. So how often do we miss this because we want to be perfect before God? See, this is where it all starts. The world demands that we have these contracts in place to protect ourselves, to gun the seller, to make things difficult for each other, because people aren't always honest. So in my own personal capacity, I would also go for the contract to make sure that things are in place. I wouldn't buy, I want the thing that I buy, the property that I buy, to be actually as good as new, not as is. But you see, Jesus is totally different about it. Jesus is totally different about it. If he were to take all the sin in our lives and he'd keep that in front of us and to be able to see whether we are allowed to be with him or not, do you think any of us would be actually close to him? Okay, I see one shake of the head. Do you think we'd be close to him? Okay, so who doesn't have any sin here? Just hands down. Okay, good. Just making sure. I see, well, we've got a lot of saints here. Amazing. Guys, we've got to understand that Christ came for and died for each one of us. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Did I say Matthew 28? Matthew 11, 28, no? Yes. You see it on the back there. So we are so burdened with things in our life that it becomes a big block for us to be able to move forward. And it's the same with a contract. So you get this, you sign this contract, you have this clause that says everything is footstools. Now, before you sign the contract, now we take this clause out. Now we say, okay, now we have to fix everything in this place before I move in. So how long does it take you to get from this point into actually moving in the house before all the defects and the wrongs are fixed? It's going to take you a while, because your contract says that before you move in, all of this and this and this, those special conditions, huh? Remember? Who knows about the special conditions? Just so, nod, yes, no. Good, thank you. You see, we miss it so many times because we want to be perfect before God. And what did Jesus come to do? And this is a very simple message today. Jesus came and he allowed himself to be crucified. And that blood covers all the imperfections in our life. His perfect body, his blameless body, the blood that was shed, covers our imperfections. Do you agree to that? See, what happens is, and I've told you we're going to be very quick today. So what do we see here? We see a dirty plank. Okay, and some people thought I was going to help people into the church this morning. But it's not. This represents our life. So often this is what we look like. And still today this is what we look like. But what does God come and do? He says, all right. We're going to try and do the experiment. So your life is full of mud because of the sin in your life. Sometimes you are, that mud covers your eyes and you can't see the day ahead. It blocks that hope. But God comes, Christ comes, and he says, okay, I'll send my only begotten Son so that whoever believes in me might be saved. Okay, but what does that mean? It brings us to this place of throwing the water, and it's difficult for you to see now, but we'll... I just want you to get the picture. Just look at the bottom. God takes us footstools. He takes us as is. And then his blood comes and covers our imperfections. Because if we are perfect before God, which we will never be. Do you know what's going to happen? God can't use you. Because he can't impart and imprint his predestined life that he laid out for you before you were born, before you were in your mother's womb, he knew that. He will not be able to imprint that destiny on you, because you try to be perfect. So in our contracts, we need to allow the clause of footstools. We need to keep that close to our hearts and remember and realize that God didn't come for the special conditions. He came for you as you are, so that at the end, you will be able to form part of the body of Christ. See, this is what we look like before we come to Christ. We come footstools. God takes us as is, and that's what He does. So if you didn't know that that is something new that I placed there, would you have recognized it? Would you have recognized that this plank here was a new addition? No. God comes and He replaces the old with the new. And Jesus goes ahead and He says in John 13, verse 34 to 35, He says, "And a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And what is the love? The love is not taking this or what the world sees of us and placing it on the wall, but allowing God to come to restore the imperfections in our life with His perfection, His blood, and place you in the family where people will know that you are His disciple. But where did it start? It started with that first word, as is. Come as you are. Not come as you want, as who you want to be in life. Because God cannot use you if you want to be. You must allow God to be. Are you with me? See, and that's why we celebrate the choice that people are making here today. Understanding that they were bought with the blood of Christ. And if we go to Acts 8, verse 35 to 39, I don't think I have it up there. Yes, I do. Well done, JP. You actually managed it. It says, "Then Philip opened his mouth." And I love that statement. I love the way they begin that, or they begin that section. Is, "Then Philip opened his mouth." The gospel of Jesus Christ will not go to the world if we do not open our mouths. Okay. So, "Then Philip opened his mouth," and beginning with the scripture, again, let's go back one track. He opened his mouth, and he gave them the word of God. Not my own words, the word of God. He told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And then Enoch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the Enoch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the Enoch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. Everybody say rejoice. Okay, so we celebrate today. Just one step back. I'm always challenged with the practical of life. Okay, so if we hear the word footstools, if we hear the word as is, and we understand it in our own lives, how do we make it practical in other people's lives? is by not trying to be the perfect Christian before them. So when you live life for them, just be who Christ made you to be. Don't be that person that's the perfect one. And the moment, it's like me Monday morning, I was walking towards a meeting. And in way back in 98, I had a rugby incident and I was playing lock and the guys picked me up, and as I grabbed the ball and won the ball for us, you know, that was that wonderful moment in the game. They all just ran after the ball and left me up there. So I came down quite heavy and tore the ligaments in my right leg. And as a youngster, and my dad, he passed away already 3 years back then. So I didn't really worry about the incident. We just had a cast on and I was cool because I could go home with the netball bus and I was right in front and everybody just so, oh, are you all right? Are you all right? You know, it was that moment. And any high school boy's dream, you know. And got home. So ever since then, my leg is always, or my ankle has always been this dodgy thing. So I enjoy buying property all over the place. And this is exactly what happened on Monday morning. So I was walking. I'm busy on my phone sending WhatsApp notes to people and just being the joy that I can be. And I want to be. And that next moment, there was a, let's call it an inconsistency in the road. And that led me to the next place of sowing seed, but literally just flying all over the place. So my ankle gave in, and I was all over the floor there, right in front of the big church. And I was just waiting for that moment for the flashes and people's cameras to be turned towards me. This guy who's walking, and all of a sudden he's on the ground. But what I'm trying to say is that don't try to live the perfect life to other people, because that imperfection can come so sudden. And when you haven't lived it to people, what they're going to see is, ah, oh, this dude is way off the road. Because all they will gather is this moment of this guy on the floor. But they will not see what you've done before that. We have to live who we are. And we are going to make mistakes. We are going to make mistakes. But allow the perfection of Christ to cover our imperfections. Discipleship, leadership training, outreach. We can go on. Impart in people's lives what Christ did in your lives. So yes, Philip went down, he saw water with the Enoch, and what did he do? They got wet. Huh? That's it, they jumped in the water. Enige plaaskind, any farm boy's dream. You know, you see water and you just want to jump in. But that's what baptism, so we're going to speak quickly, just go through the baptism part, because we have that celebration and that ceremony today, which I really want to place emphasis on. Because these people chose today to come as is. Not to come and first be perfect, then came to Christ, and Christ made them even more perfect, and now they are the cool crowd in the world. No, they came as they are, broken vessels, for God to be able to be in them, restore them, and use them. So the significance of baptism is to follow Christ. For those that are unsure, if I take this plank, and this resembles the little baby, okay? And I go, look at that. Check the bottom part. Are we clean? No. Baptism is a choice that you make. I can tell you about it. I can demonstrate to you what it did in my life. But baptism is a choice that you make. It's your obedience step when you hear from God to say, this is me. God, I'm here. I want to identify with your life. And on our way here this morning, I spoke to Paul. And I said, Paul, my little boy, I said, explain baptism to me. And you know, with a bit of a hurkle and a gesukkel, he got through it and he managed to give me the basics of baptism, of why it is what it is. And it was so nice to know that. But you know, Matthew 28, God gives us his commandment saying that therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So if we believe that we're still living in 2018, you know, who agree that 2018 is the year? Okay, we're all on that page. Now, where did that time frame come from? Everybody in the world, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, this comes from when Christ was born. Okay, so 2018, 2080 years late, 18 years later. Did a lot of things change from back then to now? Yes, a lot did. In the natural. In the spiritual? No. The same fight has always been going on. Did Christ say that on that day before he walked up the mountain, he was taken up on a cloud towards heaven, did he say, okay, guys, just do this for the first 100 years after my resurrection, and then you stop with it? Who agrees that that is what he said? Let's interpret the scripture from our point of view. Do you think that's what he said? No. Christ, God, the Holy Spirit is everlasting. They started everlasting to everlasting. So there's no way that the commandment that he gives should stop at any time. Okay. We are on the same page. The next thing is baptism is a public declaration. We are not shy of who we are in Christ. And that public declaration is just that place of saying, Lord, in front of everybody here, I have them hold me accountable just as I hold them accountable to speak into my life. And here it is. I publicly declare that you are my Lord and Savior. And I identify, the next thing is you identify with his life, with his symbolic, it's a symbolic act of saying, from the old to the new. All right? So what happens? We go into the water. We are immersed into the water, not sprinkled. If I sprinkle Theo here in the front, he's just going to be cross with me. But if I immerse him in water and I bring him up, he's going to be a different person. Okay? Because there's going to be change in him. And that's what I want to get to you today, that the baptism is your decision. God gives you that conviction in your heart saying, this is what I want to do today. Philippus and Enoch didn't drive for miles and then debated about this. He just said, here's water. What hinders me of getting baptized? Nothing. And he got baptized. It's your identification or your identifying with the symbolic death of Christ. The death on the cross, submerging into water, standing up as a new person, Christ being resurrected. You identify with that. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, who knows that scripture? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, thank you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a, say it together, new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. The old has come and the new has, or the old has gone and the new has come. Romans 6 verse 4 say, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. That's scripture. But does baptism make you a believer? No. The choice that you make through your faith in Jesus Christ, that makes you a believer. That makes you a believer. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. And then the last one, almost the last. Baptism confirms our position in Christ. And this is the most beautiful part in the Bible for me, that when Jesus got baptized and he came up, it's like this seal being placed on him, and he's being the king. You know that red, what's it called, that the kings used, and they just stamped their own authority on this letter, that seal. And this is what God does with us. If you baptize yourself, if you get baptized, you go under the water and you stand up. This is what God does. He says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Because you chose him. He said it to Jesus. But we are co-heirs in Christ because the kingdom of God has been conferred onto us. Luke 9:22. And through that, we share in the inheritance. You with me? Good. Do you believe it? Almost. Okay, we're getting there. So, God places that seal on you to say, when you choose him and acknowledge him publicly, and now you must get this, this is not a physical thing. Yes, you do the physical in the water, but when you stand up, there is a massive spiritual thing happening. Because there's such a big celebration of what you've just done, that in the spiritual realm, and I'm not going to go too deep into it. If you have questions, just speak to any of the leaders and we will explain it to you. But in the spiritual realm, that seal is being placed on you. There's like this big bubble placed around you. And God's saying, that's my son. So enemy, beware. I chose him when he was still in his mother's womb. But today, he chose me. And not in secret, not in a place where people are like, no, just this and that. He chose it, he chose to do it publicly. That everybody can see, this is who I am. And then Philip and Enoch went into the water and they got baptized. So I want to give an opportunity to those who want to be, or who's going to be baptized today, and those who also want to be baptized today. I want to call you boldly to the front, please. This has been a very difficult week for us. And if you think that the spiritual realm is not real, let me give you a quick testimony. On Thursday morning, I got a call, or I called somebody, who said to me, the police has phoned her, plus social workers, because we're keeping Amanda without her, because she doesn't want to be with us. So, against her will. Right, so we are doing that, ne? That's what we do in church. We keep people against their will. Thank goodness for that. So, on Thursday morning, I got this call, and I was like, let me just get this right. Are you seriously saying that somebody phoned, the police phoned you and say that there's a case being made against you because you're keeping somebody against their will because of baptism? I said, don't be ridiculous. Let me just explain to you what happened. And I immediately felt there's a spiritual war going on here. And I started praying and I said, Lord, we come against this because the choices that we make is our own choices. That is what discipleship in Christ is. It's your own free will. You decide. You that's sitting here made the decision whether you want to get baptized or not, whether you want to follow Christ or not. And through that, I said, Lord, we will not stand for this. And we had a prayer session, and then two social workers phoned, and that night they're like all up in arms, the police and social workers wanted to go see Amanda. And we're like, hey, guys, she's at the shelter. She's staying there. We are just supporting her. It's her choice. And when she got there, when the police got there, and this is a proud moment. You see, when we give people a choice, when we lead people to Christ, it still remains their own choice. And they have that responsibility to stand up and say, I choose against the world and I choose for God. Are you with me? And I said, I had a conversation. I said, guys, this is out of our hands now. If the police are with Amanda, then we've got to allow the Lord to work with her. And if her conviction is real, and I'm being honest with it, if her conviction is real, which everybody else said it's not, then we say sorry, but if her conviction is real, she's going to stand up. So I got a call the next morning. Pastor, you won't believe what happened. The police, the social workers were there. It was a big thing. And what did Amanda say? She defended the people who helped her. She said that she chose to make this decision to be baptized. And she stood up amidst of the attack that was on her life. And you know what? This girl came to me 5 months ago. And she stood in the front here and I prayed for her. And I said, Lord, she wants to give her life to God. But she changed to the point of proclaiming Christ to the world. And when I was still on the ladder, she grabbed hold of my ankle the one morning and she said, Pastor, I want to get baptized. And here we are today. Amanda, that was one time. The second time, the social workers and police went to her place again on Friday morning. And Amanda again said, I choose Jesus Christ. Guys, we don't make decisions for people. You make your decision for Christ. And by standing here this morning, you declare in your own capacity, and you're going to say it in your own words now, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And that today's baptism is the burial of the old and letting the new person stand up. And for all who are in Christ becomes a new person. The old is gone and the new stands up. This is what they're going to declare today. The old person is being left behind. And the new is standing up. So there's a massive responsibility on you today for the choice that you make, that if you are baptized and if you get baptized, you have the responsibility to be obedient, because your first step of obedience is to be obedient to Christ now, of calling, reading His Word and saying that today I choose You, Lord. Today I choose to identify with You. And that in that and through that, you have to change your life, because you cannot remain the same person. But it's a process. If you look at my plank here, it's a process. It doesn't happen immediately. But this is what God has destined for you. Let His perfection cover your imperfections today. So I want to give a 2-minute window or a gap to anybody that wants to give a quick testimony here of why they want to get baptized. I'm going to ask you a question or two now before we attend to the ceremonial things that are outside. Who wants to give a quick testimony?
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. For those who know me, my name is Amanda. And with those, I just wanted to say I'm very grateful for what the Lord has done for me. My life was dirty, dirtier than that plank. It was disgusting, very disgusting, very, very. Nobody wanted me close. Nobody wanted even to have a look at me. I was staying by the shelter before. Even this year, I was there. But I got kicked out just because of my old life. Okay, I didn't know what were the reasons behind why was I getting kicked out. Because I was never told, I was just told to take my things and get out of the shelter. Okay, I left. When I left, I got very, very sick. For those who know me, Miss Quizzy, Dienny, and those who don't. I'm a person who's living with HIV for now, let me just say 15 years. But anyway, I told myself, it's okay, it happened. Nobody can change it. And I'm happy and I'm proud of who I am. Even though my family doesn't want me, I'm very proud. As long as I have made a decision and my own choice, I take my treatments, I'm happy, I'm living with Christ, I'm a new creation. Thank you.
I just want to keep encouraging you that, you know, these stories are not written out. It wasn't read in a book. It wasn't set out before the week. And you know, we sort of have this thing. These are real stories. And I want you to afterwards, just to speak each one of them. If you are still unsure in your heart whether you want to get baptized or not. So today is a special day. And I'm just quickly going to ask so that we can carry on, because time is ticking. And so from the front here, I'm going to ask two questions. The first one is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? And secondly, are you making this choice today from your own will and not because somebody forced you to do it? We say amen to that.
Guys, I just feel it really strong in my heart. There's two more people that's supposed to be baptized. You know who you are. And it's the thing about baptism. People cannot tell you what to do, and I was one of those people. You could not tell me why I should be baptized, because I knew all the answers. Until God really took me and shook me and said, but I want you to be baptized. And that's the question that you have in your heart. If God is telling you to be baptized, what excuses are you giving? Do you have excuses that you are telling God, but I can't do this because of A, B, and C? If God is telling you something, there is no more excuses. It's either obey or sin. It's either life or death. Because you will lose something if you're not obedient to God in that calling upon your life that you have. You know there's something tugging at your heart. And you know that God wants you to do this. It is something only you, it's only between you and God. Nobody else can step in and tell you can't be baptized. It's only you that decide that. Amen. Father God, we thank you so much for testimonies, Lord God, for people sharing from their hearts, Lord God, from their lives, Lord God. And that's what you're all about, Lord God. It's about making new lives, Father. This sermon that was so part of our hearts, Lord God, that you want to take people from death to life, Lord God. And there are so many people in this city, Lord God, that has got a hunger for you, Father God. So we pray, Lord God, for our hearts to be open, Lord, that you're able to receive, Lord God, something that is from our hearts, Lord God, that is just that acknowledgement, that saying that you are our God, that you are my Lord, that you saved me, and that you've set me free, and that you've set my feet upon the path of righteousness and life. And Father, I just proclaim that in so many lives here today, Father, that you are able, Lord, to save them from whatever circumstances they are in, Lord God. We must just submit to your will, Lord God, and just like JP showed, that we must be cleansed by your word, Father, cleansed by your love. And then once we walk in that purpose, Lord God, that we are able to be used by you and be used for you, Father, as a testimony, as a mouthpiece, whatever you call us to do, Lord God, may our feet be ready, Lord, to bring the word, Lord God, to bring your promises to so many people that is hungry for that. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your abundance of grace and love for us. We pray, Lord God, that we will be that church on the hill, Father, who is shining the light and proclaiming the love of Jesus in the lives of so many people around us. Lord, we thank you for the word. We pray that it will go out and just bless people. Father, we pray for the hearts that are being preparing for this baptism, Lord God, that there will just be an anointing and a blessing, that your spirit will come upon them, Lord God, and that there will be an overflow, Father, of your promises and your goodness and your mercy and your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.